Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello, and welcome back to the Grief Gang podcast with me, your host, Amber Jeffrey. The message behind the Grief Gang is to normalise the topic of conversation that is grief. People living with grief can often feel ashamed, isolated, and alone. This podcast was created to break those taboos after I, myself, experienced all of those feelings after the loss of my mum in 2016. I decided enough was enough and we need to talk about this. You'll hear on this podcast an array of stories and experiences, some being my own and some being fantastic guest episodes and their incredible stories. You'll laugh, you'll cry, but I hope above all, I hope you'll learn. I hope you'll learn that you are not alone in your grief journey, that you have a voice and it should be heard, that you and your grief matter. So without further ado, I'll let you enjoy the episode. Happy listening. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Grief Gang podcast with me, your host, Amber Jeffrey. I'm really banging these out for you guys. You're getting the content like never before. I've never been so proactive in my life. Jesus Christ. I'm back with another fantastic guest episode. I'm so, so excited to interview this guest and have a good old chin wag because I've been following like quite closely for a while and I've seen it grow and the message behind it I think is so lovely. And so I cannot wait to delve deep and dirty, I hope it's not dirty, into it. So without further ado, I would like to introduce Frankie Davies, the creator and founder of Pixie Divine. Frankie, thank you so much for being here today. How are you, my dear?
I'm good. I'm really happy to be here. I've been wanting to get involved for a long time, so I was very excited when you asked me to come on.
Yeah. Honestly, the feeling is mutual. Like I just said in the intro there, I've been following for a while what you're doing, and I'll give it away. I've purchased as well, so I've got a little teaser for this is there, what it's about. And I love it, and I love seeing what's coming forth, and I can't wait to find out more from you. So Frankie, obviously there's a reason today why you are here on the Grief Gang podcast. It's always a shit reason. It's never a great reason why people are on my podcast, to be honest.
Yeah.
there's no glitter over here. Yeah. So Frankie, could you tell the listeners and the viewers a little bit about yourself, where you're from, what you do, and who it is that we are here to remember and talk about today?
So hello everybody. I'm Frankie. So I'm, how old am I? 28, just turned 28. Approaching the dirty 30s, pretty soon.
Yeah, yeah. Are you?
Yeah. I am. Yeah. Not. Do you know what? Actually, I think I used to be a bit of like, oh God, I don't want to be 30. But I think now I'm kind of accepting it and embracing, you know, the inevitable. So
yeah. Yeah.
It's all good. Cool. I just finished uni. So I went to uni quite late. I just graduated last year. I studied education. With no intention of going on to work in education, so I don't really know why I did that.
Love it, love it.
Yeah, just kind of been plodding along. I was, you know, unemployed after I graduated and was, you know, needing to do something to earn a living. So I started Dixie Divine. But yeah, today I'm here to talk about my lovely mother, Sue, who passed away in May last year. So yeah.
We're a Sue gang. We're a Sue gang.
Yeah, we are.
What is it about the Sues? I feel like every person I've met whose mum died is it's a Sue.
I don't know. Maybe the name's cursed. I don't know.
Brilliant. Oh, thank you, Frankie. Yeah, so yeah, we'll go into Pixie Divine and the message behind it. But obviously, yeah, so yeah, then mum's anniversary is approaching. Would you mind taking us back a little bit into the story of mum?
Yeah, so she was, so we found out in, so for a long time, it's really like annoying now because I look back and I'm like, the signs were there and we never.
Yes, it's always, you know, the case, isn't it,
yeah,
babe? It's always
really,
the case.
Yeah, it's really frustrating. But so in, I think, January of last year, she had fallen ill and went into hospital. And I think she was in for a couple of days. And I remember being at uni, and I had an interview. I had a job interview at uni, and my phone was just like ringing in my pocket. And you know when you're like, it's nothing. But then because it kept ringing, I was like, something's up. And I looked at my phone, and the first thing I'd seen was, I've got a brain tumor.
Oh my god!
So obviously, like, I'm in the middle of this like group interview. And I just, like, everything just went really blurry and stuff. Found out she had a brain tumour. And then we weren't, because obviously you can have, like, benign or malignant or something, I think it's called.
Yeah.
So we kind of, you know, were in a bit of limbo for a while, not knowing if it was benign or not. And then she had a, like, brain surgery. Brain surgery.
Yeah.
To get like a biopsy on it. Because we'd had like scans and stuff and they were really unsure. You know, it looked, you know, it was widespread on her brain, but the doctor was kind of not sure if it, he hadn't seen it anything like it before. So he didn't want to say, oh, this is, you know, it looks like cancer. He was like, it could be, it could, you know. So she had to have a biopsy, which was like awful, to kind of, you know, I picked her up from the hospital and she was, I mean, to be honest with you, I think from the day she was diagnosed, I say to my brother, like, she was basically not her anymore. You know, she was just completely like, I think, gone.
Different.
Really.
Yeah. Different. Yeah.
So yeah, I picked her up from the hospital and she was just like, it was just horrible to see, really. And, I was dressing her and it kind of gave me that thing of, you know, they always say it kind of, you go round in a circle in life.
It goes full circle.
Yeah. And it was really sad actually to kind of be looking at her like that. And then what happened after that? I think it was around Mother's Day. She was supposed to go and start. So we found out it was cancer, that came back. Yeah. It was cancer. And she went for she was supposed to have her radiotherapy and chemotherapy because brain cancer is like probably, I think, one of the hardest ones to cure. So you have to have both. And then COVID was beginning to, really take over. And I think she'd felt symptomatic. And so they were like, oh, don't come in.
Okay.
Just in case, you know, you've got COVID. And I think literally within 2 days, she'd had like two seizures and during the night and she'd fallen out of bed, hit her head. And from that point, she was taken into hospital. She was unconscious for about a week, I think. Then they wanted to move her out of the hospital because they were, you know, saying COVID is spreading and she's not safe there. Now that she was out of intensive care, they thought it was best that she went into a hospice. Right. So obviously once you hear that, you're like, what does that mean? You know? So she went into the hospice and we were only allowed to see her for a week because straight after that, they fully locked it down. Like no guests were allowed to visit. So all of the kids, me, her partner, some of her friends went to see her. You know, she was essentially like gone really.
Right. Yeah.
Barely like conscious half the time. And so I had to FaceTime her for the next 2 months, you know, pretty much every day, watch her, you know, crying and, you know, you could see, it was almost like she was trapped in her own body, but also she wasn't aware of what was going on, you know, so it was
a
very conflicting thing to see. And yeah, so she came home in May for, I think, 2 days. And then she just got, over those 2 days, she just rapidly declined. And, you know, because I was her next of kin, it, and my sister had been staying with her, looking after her when the carers weren't there. And she'd call me all night or text me and say, you know, mum's being sick. And, you know, she's...
Yeah.
And I did the Google thing and it was basically saying, like, when somebody's dying, it's essentially like their body starts to, you know... So yeah, I just made the executive decision to put her back into the hospice because I just felt like she wasn't, I didn't want her to die at home. I just didn't feel, it didn't, especially because I knew the kids would continue living there. It just didn't feel right. And I feel like we wanted her to be in like the best, you know, place for her.
Yeah.
So I put her back in the hospice and then literally they called me at like 8 o'clock in the morning the next day saying, you know, we think she's close. You know, we're happy to let two people come and see her. So I kind of quickly rallied. I couldn't do it. So I got her partner and my other sister to, like, told them they could go. And then literally 10 minutes later, she called me back. And, you know, obviously I knew as soon as I saw the number come up. And, yeah, she just, you know, had said she'd passed away and there was a hospice like member of staff with her and they were listening to music and stuff and
just
a whirlwind since then.
so in May like that was that's like peak time for us and do you think Frankie even you say like you know you couldn't do it, do you think if the times weren't like they were then you potentially would have gone
to see her in the hospice?
Yeah.
No, I
just think that's your general call. That was your general call. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I didn't want, my last memory of her already was pretty bad. So I didn't want to see her like, I like to imagine her like alive. I didn't,
didn't want alive to see her. And well and fit. And I think there's nothing wrong with that. I do. When I think of my mum, I don't much, it's hard not to sometimes think of those really horrible moments in their last, you know, weeks, days, hours. I like to think of my, I like to think of my mum before even like I was here, like when she was young.
Yeah.
Like when she, when her hair was long. Yeah. And she was, my mum loved the sunbeds, like loved the sunbeds. she fully had a sunbed in their gaff when she was younger. And I was like, what? And so I think of her like that.
Yeah.
So then Frankie, so then with that, I'm thinking in May. And then, well, I think we need to tell the people what Pixie Divine is, for one, because because I'm, before I ask this question, can you tell us what Pixie Divine is and why it, well, we know why it was created, but from mum dying to the moment you had this thought, what was going through your head? So give a little bit to what Pixie Divine is and then we'll go into that,
so it feels like such a long time ago now. I'm like, what? I don't even know where it came from. But basically, so like I said earlier, I wasn't working.
Yeah.
And I was basically, I'd become the primary caregiver for my siblings. You know, they were with their dad, but he's, you know, on benefits and stuff, and he wasn't getting any money for them at the time, so it was all on my shoulders to provide. So I had to think quickly and think how I could make some money, and I'd been part of this brain tumour carers group for a few months. And I don't know, I guess maybe I saw someone else doing candles and it just kind of came to me like, oh, maybe I could do that. Like, that could be a fun thing to try. And initially it was actually to raise money to try, and because with my mum passing away, because we literally come from, she comes from a wealthy family, but she's like disengaged from them. So
yeah, that don't mean shit sometimes, does it?
No, same
with my mum. It was like, I won't say like wealthy, but you know, they could have dug deep, but it don't matter sometimes, does it? Yeah.
No, yeah. And yeah, so she, you know, all my mum left us was literally like her debt, basically.
Yes. So, yeah, same. Yeah.
Thanks, mum.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I thought I really wanted to do something that, so almost like her death wasn't in vain, so she could be giving something back, you know.
Yeah.
So yeah, I started making the candles and I kind of kept it within that group to begin with, and loads of them were buying them, and two people said they had put it on the candle, because it was the candle was called Warrior.
Yeah.
Because I know they use that term a lot for cancer patients. Mm-hmm. And one person had put it on her husband's casket during his service. And another one had, I think, bought it to the funeral and matched like the scent with the, so it was lavender fragrance, and she put lavender like on his. So that was really nice. And yeah, it kind of made me want to continue it. And yeah, so Pixie kind of came from that really, and has gone on to be,
it's gone to be amazing for one. It's gone to be amazing.
Yeah, it is. It has been, you know, completely unexpected, and I never thought it would have got to the sort of the point that it's at now. But it's evolved so much from what it was. And at the beginning, it was just simply me making some candles and, you know, trying out different shapes and, you know, things like that. But it's really allowed me to get back in touch with my own personal like creative side that I lost in myself. And
yeah,
so when my mum had first died, I went to see two psychics because I just wanted to hear from her and to know she was okay.
Yeah.
And they both mentioned things about like creative, me being creative. And although to be fair, when I went into the second one, I had green hair, so I thought a bit obvious, and I've got tattoos all over me, so
yeah, she thought, let me just throw in creative and see what comes back.
Yeah. But yeah, they both said similar things in that respect. And so that really pushed me like, okay, maybe I should
planted a seed.
Something. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's kind of gone on to be a bit of me trying everything really, like, you know, candles, and I make rugs now, working with clay, you know, loads of things. Even I'm just going to start doing some courses to help people with small businesses.
Yeah.
You know, try and help them build it, and, you know, mistakes I've learned so that they don't have to, basically.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah, that's what it is in a nutshell. But as you just said there, like, it's evolved. And yeah, like when I first came across you, like, you were just doing the candle and I loved it and I got mine. And there's something about buying when you know, when you're buying with purpose and there's incentive behind it, and, you know, small business. And as soon as I found out that, you know, you created it in memory of your mum, I just felt so like drawn to it.
Yeah.
And even though our mums are both passed completely different things, I just thought this is such a lovely thing, and I'd love to purchase and give back, and I love it. And so with that, obviously with Pixie Divine, you've gone on to like feature in quite like some magazines and get some good and like press and stuff. And that's such a wonderful thing. And I wonder if I want to ask you if you can relate to this as well. Sort of, I've had fantastic opportunities come my way in television and whatever, and it's cool. But then there's that small thing in the back of your head of, this wouldn't happen if your mum didn't die.
Yeah.
And I wanted to ask you, and I know you're very vocal on social media, and I love when you get into it, and I love when you're on stories. I love it.
Ranting. So,
yeah, literally, I love when I get on a rant as well. I'm like, yeah, the people can have it, they can get it today. And I just wanted to ask you, sort of, yeah, how do you feel, you know, what, as you said, you know, you started it off just as something, you know, personal within the group, within the Facebook group or the support group. And now that it's gone to be a brand. It's gone to be a brand now, essentially. And how does that feel for you? You love creating it. And, you know, you started it essentially sort of like, you know, not like make a quick buck, but you thought, you know, I want to tap into my creativity, but I also need to make money because I need to provide.
Yeah.
And it's now gone on to be something really successful.
Mm-hmm.
And that thought of, oh, shit, the success has come off the back of this. And how do you navigate around that?
So, you know, it's every time, I think the worst thing about those sort of things, you know, being featured in Stylist magazine, which is a dream, really.
Mm.
Every time that happens, I'm like, oh, mum, you know, that's who you want to tell, isn't it? You know, I'm very, very close to my dad, but my mum's my best friend.
Yeah.
Yeah. And always so proud of everything I did. And so that can be really bittersweet, you know, those achievements. And yeah, you know, being because of her death, I think it took me a while to be okay with that. And, you know, I always say I would give everything up in a heartbeat for her. You know, I don't want any of this. If it means nothing. It's all for her. And if I'd rather she was here, obviously.
Mm.
But then now I try to see it as, you know, I hate that sort of everything happens for a reason.
Mm-mm.
But I've really made a point in my life in the last year to see everything as, you know, I don't see why negativity and negative mindset and, you know, I could have just grieved and cut myself off from everyone and stayed unemployed and blame the world, you know, for everything that happened.
Yeah.
But instead I want to take that and think, okay, she did die and this has come from it. And it was as sad as it sounds like that was what was meant to happen.
Yeah.
And maybe this will help me change my siblings' lives. And that's because of her. So she actually is doing something for us, exactly. You know?
Yeah.
Even like she lived in a council house and we're trying to buy it because, you know, we could get a really big discount on that. And that's her thing to us because she didn't have anything else. But actually, that is so small. You know, it's not always about money and it's all these things that are happening to me now. I look at that and go, that's, you know, my mum is making this happen.
Like it's legacy, like
definitely.
And I think people might see, you know, legacy. That's something that sort of I've sort of tried to. My view of legacy before was very like of wealth, legacy and wealth and assets and stuff like that. But legacy, so it's not sometimes the physical things, stuff like that. Legacy is like life lessons and the way you make people feel and the way you inspired them.
Yeah.
And it sounds like that's exactly what you're doing, you know, whatever, if your mum couldn't left you anything behind, whatever. And I know for some people it's like, some people are left in really awful situations, if someone dies. But I've come to view it like that as well too, Frankie. Sort of, you know, mum, she didn't leave us with a pot to piss in to a degree, but she left me. And over the years, I'm seeing those lessons come to fruition. And I can see that those conversations that we had and why she felt the need to have them with me then. And I heard people say, you know, a parent, I saw something before and it was like, oh, a parent sets you up for everything in life, but not how to live without them.
Yeah.
And I saw it. And then I was like, I actually challenged that. I feel like my mum kind of set me up for a life without her, because when she did die, like I was only 19 and I knew how to cook, clean, all that sort of fundamental shit to get me through the day.
Yeah.
And as much as it would piss me off that she made me do the dinner like every day or do my own washing, in a weird way, I see it as she probably, she knew at her time, obviously she had a heart attack and it was sudden, but she knew that she ain't going to be here forever.
Yeah.
And she can't mollycoddle me forever.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's really interesting I'm totally with you there of when the big moments happen and the cool moments happen, the only person you want to call is them. And then you're like,
sorry, you know, as I say, I, you know, I'm not a religious person, I would say, but she's seeing everything, as you know, yeah. as is your mum, and that feeling, you know, they're not here physically, but I just know, even like when those little signs happen, even if you want to cling on to though something that maybe my boyfriend will be like, oh god, here she goes again, there's like a blimp went past on my camera when I was videoing something the other day, and I was like, oh, it's my mum passing by, you know. But I take those and I'm like, she is here and she's seen everything, and when we're reunited one day and in another place,
realm, yeah, absolutely, yeah, I do that. I feel like they're our biggest supporters from like the other side of forever, and they're rooting for us, and almost like sometimes I feel like when these good things happen and these amazing opportunities, I almost feel like it is like you know, our mums, our lovers, they're kind of moving heaven and earth wherever they are to make sure that this path is clear for us to get here, to get these blessings, to get these opportunities, the biggest, you know, guardian angel in our life. And yeah, I love that. I love that. I wanted to ask you, what was yours and your mum's relationship like? What was like a normal like conversation between you? What did it look like? How did your mum parent and love?
You know, my mum was.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Wow!
Nice!
Yeah!
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
Or is, I should say. We were like sisters. We weren't, you know, it was a funny one, because her relationship with one of my sisters, they were very close, and that sort of, you know, if my sister had something on her boob, she could go and show my mum, you know. But whereas I'm a bit, me and my mum, because I think we're like too close almost. You know, you have one of those friends who are too close, it makes you feel sick, like,
you're like
to be like that. Yeah, so me
are you,
like,
are you the
that.
Eldest? Are you the
I'm
eldest?
I'm the eldest daughter. Yeah. My mum had I always forget how many kids my mum. I think she had 8 kids.
Okay.
And I'm the third.
You got a brood.
So we were very close in a sort of sister way, and I was always her shoulder to lean on.
Okay.
My mum's a very strong woman, and she's been through so much in her life, and I think unfortunately it made her quite a weak person, sort of emotionally. And she
vulnerable.
Was very, very vulnerable, and she'd been in so many toxic relationships that I think it really damaged her self-worth and her belief in herself, and you know, it ended up, you know, me always being the one giving her advice and trying to get her out of these situations and telling her she can do better, and, you know. So, yeah, our relationship was, yeah, I wouldn't, you know, at the time, sometimes you're like, oh, God, my mum's moaning again. Oh, God, mum, please. But, yeah, I wouldn't change any of that about her. But, she was, I always say, my mum wasn't the best mum. I never used to buy her cards on Mother's Day that were like best mum in the world.
Neither, I wouldn't buy my mum.
Because she wasn't, you know?
But, did she ever question you on that? Was she ever like, why not get me best mum?
No, she didn't actually. But it's quite funny, because I was going through, when she passed, I was going through some of her like Mother's Day cards she had. And I was looking at ones I'd written her, and I realised that I'm a very blunt person, because I've literally just, I think in one of them I wrote, Mum, cheer up, love Fran. On Mother's Day, so. Very reliant on me. And but as a mother, like I said, wasn't the best mum, but she was our mum, and she was the best we could have asked for. And she do everything, give us everything. And, you know, like you said earlier, they are preparing you for these moments, and without them being there. And I'm so proud of the person that I am. And that's because of my mum. Like, like I said, I'm very close to my dad, but I've lived with my mum pretty much my whole life. And I grew up on a council estate in Brixton and had no money. And I did drop out of school and I had my moments, but I actually went on to be a really, I think, kind and, I don't know, giving person. And
you
feel like that.
You ain't done bad, girl. You ain't done bad. You can give yourself your flowers. You can say, I'm not a cunt. You can say, I'm not a cunt.
I need to start being more. I say this to everyone. Why are we so afraid to praise ourselves and be proud of ourselves? And I am, like, very proud of, especially in the last year, just how much I think I've always been mature for my age and stuff. And I'm nearly 30. So, you kind of have to be mature. But it's just,
you say that. I know many 30-year-olds who aren't.
Well, yeah, no, that's true. My boyfriend's a bit older than me, and I'm definitely way more mature than him. But you know, in the past there's been jobs that I've quit because I just don't think I'm capable and I don't believe in myself. And then when my mum died, the really bad thing about, like, going to school and stuff is nobody teaches you how to do these things. Like, when someone dies, there's actually a full-on list of things that have
admin.
To be
admin.
Deathmin.
Deathmin, the deathmin is not the one. It's so true, Frankie. And it's like, no one ever teaches this stuff, and you kind of just hope that somebody in your life might have had this experience before and could maybe guide you. And if you don't have that, you've absolutely got to fucking wing it. And then sometimes these things come to bite you in the arse in like a couple months time, like you've missed something out, and it's fucking tax man's always after some money after someone's died, the sick bastards. And like, it's just something, and it's so true, nothing sets you up for it. You touched on there, like, how you're really close with your dad. And I saw something on your stories. Like, when I say, like, give 2 weeks. And do you know what it was? It was so random. I was on stories really late at night, and I saw you posted it. And I thought, write that down in my notes for Frankie's episode. And I went back to my notes, and where it was literally at stupid o'clock, my notes were fucked, right? But it was, you wrote something, and I thought, that's so lovely. And I'd like to ask more of, like, the remaining parent. I said, your parents weren't together when your mum died.
Yeah, no, they weren't. No.
Yeah. So I've got my notes here. I put, you spoke a while back about how your dad makes, forget this is very botched job, about how your dad makes a conscious effort to speak about your mum on a phone call. And then I put brackets, once a week. And I couldn't remember if my eyes weren't forgiving me, but look, you put something on your stories about you and your dad having a conversation and that it was quite regular. Am I completely incorrect in that? Or
No. So you're right. So what happened is, my dad is Mr. Motivator, and he thinks he knows everything, basically.
Okay. Love that.
And for a long time, it was, you know, I guess, like, when you're a teenager, especially, you kind of the eye roll thing, and you're like, dad, please stop, shut up, you know. But specifically in this last year, he has been such an important part and so vital in me continuing to do Pixie Divine, really. And what happens is, I will get him, I'll call him or he'll call me on a Sunday evening, because I need that pep talk for the week ahead. And, you know, I try to be really positive. Like, while my mum was ill, my dad was constantly like, just be positive, show her this video that's positive message. And even though you know the inevitable, it's like, but being negative is not gonna change this. I'm going to make it better. True. So it's better to be positive, isn't it?
Yeah.
And he really gives me these, you know, sometimes it can be a bit like, oh, we're on the phone for like over an hour of him just
going telling at me,
yeah. You know, I'm the one that's in control of what's happening next. You know, if I feel anything, basically anything you want, I'm a very big believer in whatever you want is already yours.
Yeah.
You just have to go and get it. The mm-hmm. only person stopping you is yourself, really.
Yeah.
And yeah, we just, you know, we've got really close in the last years because of this, and him giving me the confidence that I can do these things, and there's no reason why I don't deserve the things that I wish I see other people with.
Yeah.
And I'm, you know, jealous of them or, you know, whatever.
Mm.
And he's always said to me, you know, this has taken off because of whatever you believe in, whether it is God or your mum, or there's something driving you.
Yeah.
Run with it, you know? Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's a very helpful part of my life and very necessary for me, because there are times when I do think I can't be bothered to deal with this stress anymore. I want to be a normal person and I want to go to work and let the other person who's the boss stress, and I go home and at 5 p.m. my phone's off.
Yeah, can clock out.
Yeah, and you can't when you run your own business, and sometimes it can become overwhelming, especially when you, because I like to be honest about business.
I was just about to say I think I don't see Grief Gang as like a business, but it's borderline a brand and stuff like that. But so I can relate to some degrees when I see your stuff, but I think for those who can really relate to your stuff, I think you're such a breath of fresh air in it. Absolutely, honestly, I really do. And the way I remember seeing ages ago, you're like, oh, you might do like a little, like a masterclass, was that, or like a little forum thing?
Workshop,
I think that's absolutely fantastic that even though, you know, you're still in the midst of it, you're still learning, you know, you're not, you're coming, you're saying like, I'm the guru, you're not saying shit like that. You're saying, I want to help you guys to not make the mistakes that I have.
Yeah.
And I think there's something really beautiful and really, and as you went back to, you know, saying you're a nice person. You're not a dickhead. You're not a dickhead. Stop it. But then those conversations with your dad and stuff, like, do you find with that? So I'm the same situation. My parents weren't together when my mum died. Mm-hmm. And in the beginning, I remember having this sort of, not long after my mum died, this sort of like weird feeling of like, okay, well, he's my only parent. Me and my dad were very close now as well. And I thought, oh, like, he's my only parent left. And when mum died, like, they weren't on the best of terms. Am I going to be able to speak to him about mum? You know, they were married for X amount of years, had two kids together. He's one of the closest things I've got to mum and the memories.
Yeah.
And we kind of broke down those walls, and he is some like a bit more confident. Like, when I want to speak about mum, he knows so much about her.
I
wonder how's that for you? Like, you know, so you've got your siblings, everything like that, and you speak to them about mum and stuff, but the person who, you know, they share a child with, how do you speak about mum with dad?
So they were married for, I think, about 3 months.
Whirlwind romance.
Yeah. I think my mum was that fond of him at the beginning of their relationship, clearly. And yeah, I was, yeah, the only one born between them as a couple. And I think they had quite an on and off relationship over the years, and they went through periods of time where they were, you know, they would talk a lot on the phone and stuff, and I'd go stay with my dad, and it would be easy for them to kind of communicate and,
yeah,
you know, pick me up from each other and stuff. Mm. Then it would go through periods of it being really toxic for whatever reason. And they hadn't spoken for years and years, and I don't think there was any reason really for it. But then when she got ill, I really wanted my dad to speak to her, because I know how annoying he is, that he can make you do something you don't want to do. So I wanted him to tell her she needs to eat these healthy things, or, you know,
get onto her. Yeah.
Yeah. So I was glad that that kind of was, that relationship was sort of, I wouldn't say healed, because it wasn't damaged, but they did get to kind of speak before she died. And, you know, now I try, my dad, I know I can speak to him about her if I ever feel like I need to, but the issue I have is that my dad can, so I only recently kind of, I've been kept it to myself a lot that I like believe that I have PTSD.
Yeah.
And with my dad, is he's the sort of person where he's like, it's all in your mind, you know.
Yeah,
you don't say you have that, because he taught me a while ago, and it's something I really believe now, that like, you shouldn't say certain words like, oh, my back's killing me, or
I mean? I'm so funny, I'm dying like that.
because he believes that if you say these sort of things, then you'll end up
to fruition.
And to a degree I do believe that, because I think the stress ultimately probably kills a lot of people, because it causes a lot of the illnesses that people go on to die from and stuff. So but so I was a bit uncomfortable telling him about me having that. And so there's certain things sometimes, if I do bring up my mum, he'll try and be a bit more like, you know, I don't know, it's fine to be, to feel like that, but you've got a XYZ, you've got a,
he's looking for, he's like a solution man, isn't it?
Yeah.
He's a solution. Yeah.
Yeah.
And sometimes you do need that. And then it's there sometimes, isn't it, Frankie? We just kind of like, I just want to vent and cover ground, and I'm not looking for solutions right now. Like, yeah.
Definitely. So,
you feel comfortable like speaking to dad, but sometimes you'd be like, oh, I don't know if I can be bothered today.
I keep those sort of, I think as well, because he was always been against like therapy,
okay,
and those sorts of things, and I'm not like the biggest fan of them. And so when I sometimes think, oh, maybe I should just do it, because
yeah,
it can be good, because I used to have therapy, but then I haven't had it since my mum was ill, since she died, so I don't know how that would it be better for me now.
Yeah, well, what you're gonna get from therapy now.
But I just, it's not something I would approach to my dad for his opinion, because I would imagine he would be like, no,
shut it down. Where do you go sort of like to outlet your grief, Frankie? Is there people in your life, and or like, do you, obviously Pixie is a huge part in that, in outletting, I suppose, in your grief and creating, and it's solely, made a memory of your mum. But how do you find you best express your grief and your love for your mum?
I am very lucky. So my boyfriend lost his mum when he was, I think, 19.
Okay.
So it's a weird one, actually. I think a lot of people can agree and relate that, in a weird way, not that you're happy, but it's nice, you know?
It's, you're not reveling in it, but you're like, I'm glad that you get, not glad that you get it, but like, it brings comfort that you know that the person that you lay down with every day at night gets it. Yeah.
Definitely. And you see them, and you know that they've come out of it, you know. Now those memories that are quite sad now, at the moment you're blurred by the sad memories, eventually they become nice memories. You think of them in funny situations and stuff, you know. So that's been a really big help for me. And my friends, you know, I've got some really, I'm very lucky to have, you know, very good like best friends, and who've been, you know, sometimes there's friendships that there's a, you kind of start to feel like you might be annoying them with the whole
grief, trust me, thing. The whole baggage.
And I try, I was actually speaking about this with one of my good friends yesterday, like, I try to not always bring these, you know, especially when you're drinking it.
Oh yeah.
It's inevitable, really, for me anyway. And I always feel bad, and I'm like, I don't want to always bring it up, but it's a part of me now, unfortunately. And it's a big part of, it's shaped who the person I am now, and
it shaped your career.
Yeah, totally.
And it's kind of like, the people don't like, it's a sticky one, isn't it? Because it's, you know, some people, they could be people in your life for years, but this is now, you know, center of your world, but it's a huge part in your world, as grief is. it doesn't have to define you, but it's a big part of you.
Definitely.
But yeah, you feel like you can speak to those friends.
Yeah, I feel like very lucky to have the people that I do feel that comfortable, you know, being honest about how I feel. And I try not to scare people, but I also, in a way, whenever I am talking to my friends, I kind of tend to make a point that I've been through it now. So even if, you know, anyone who doesn't want to hear it, like, it's going to happen to you. Yeah. I've got one up on you.
I'm ahead of you lot. Yeah. I'm ahead of you lot.
I am. And I, you know, I don't want to say that and like come across as an arsehole, but
it's the blunt truth. It's the blunt truth. And you know, not even like the blunt truth. It's just, it's reality, isn't it, Frankie? Like, and I've known people sort of like, you know, they hear my story or whatever, or I remember in my old workplace, they'd be like that. And this lady, I'll never forget it, because it was borderline ignorant. And I was talking about my mum or whatever, and she was like, she literally finished, she went, oh no, I can't. And I was like, okay. And then she was like, I can't, the thought of me leaving like my daughter, like me dying, leave my daughter, makes me like literally want to cry. And I was like, that, I was like, no, we can't be having that. I was like, because I was like, oh, I went, you know, you are gonna die. And she was like, don't. I said, but you are gonna die. I said, so fix up, teach her some life lessons, teach her some fundamentals.
Yeah,
but yeah, sure. Some people, it's they really think invincible.
They like, do. And it doesn't discriminate.
Yeah, death don't discriminate.
It's coming for you whether you like it or not.
Oh, brilliant, Frankie. Right, I've got my last and final question for you. It's a question that I ask all my guests on the show. So if you could go back to your, so I say younger, what is younger? Because you are going back in time. Pre-bereaved self. I know you said you might not feel young, but you are young. If you could go back to your younger pre-bereaved self and give yourself some honest and truthful advice for the journey you're about to go on, what would it be?
Ooh. Sit back and enjoy the ride.
Baby.
It's gonna be a bumpy one.
Yeah.
I think to be honest with you, I would just keep being the same that I am. I haven't changed, and I actually, probably the only thing I would say is to have better relationships with my siblings, because I'm so I've always been really close to my siblings, but now they're like my babies, like especially the younger two. I just love them like they're my own kids. And I wish I could be more sort of ready to be like mum for them, because like now I know that has happened, and now I think, oh, if I'd have known then that this was going to happen, I would have been way more prepared for the amount of love that I'm gonna have for these kids. And because it's a bit overwhelming at the moment for me, you know, because I think, you know, so a lot of people will say, I don't know, like my sister had a baby and I just love my niece so much, and she's been such a light in this dark time. I'm like, how could I love my own child as much as I love her? And
yeah,
I just wish I was a bit more prepared for that role that I was going to end up taking as basically mum. But yeah, apart from that, I'd just be prepared for a bumpy ride. But it's actually fun at times, you know. Can't change the bad thing that's happened, so I just want to take the good side of it and say, yeah, it's a bit shit, but actually it's brought me a lot of opportunity and happiness.
Absolutely, Frankie.
In some ways.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think your pre-brew self would, if you were to show her like a montage of what the future is going to show, she'd be like, shit, like, oh my god, like, This is all, it's all right to some degree. It's all right. There's some good moments, and I think that's something I can look back on too and go, oh, shit, but there were some good times. I'm glad that you can see that, Frankie. I really am. Yeah, oh well, that's us all done, Frankie. Thank you so much for being a guest on the show.
No, thank you.
I really cannot wait to see what comes out of more of Pixie Divine. I love it. Please tag yourself, plug yourself. Where can people find you? What can they buy from you?
So at the moment, I'm only on Instagram, which is ridiculous because if I lost my Instagram tomorrow, I'd be pretty...
I know, me too. I'd be Devo. Yeah. I'd be Devo.
But yeah, so it's like at pixie.divine on Instagram. At the moment, I kind of do all my products in collections. So it usually it's like once a month I'll do a drop. So yeah, I've got another one coming up, I think, this Sunday.
Wicked.
But then, you know, there'll be another one probably in like a month's time. So yeah, on Etsy.
Amazing.
And yeah, that's pretty much the only way you can get hold of me.
That's all right though, one spot. Well, I love that people can find you nice and easy. Oh well, there you go, Grief Gang. You can find Pixie Divine on Instagram. I'll of course put all the tags in the relevant posts and the bio and everything like that. But yeah, please do check out Frankie and her fantastic work. You'll get some nice stuff. That is it. Yeah, exactly. All handmade. She's putting her blood, sweat and tears into that shit, guys. You better fucking purchase. Well, that is it, Grief Gang. Thank you so much for listening and, yeah, being here. Take care, everybody. Bye. Well, that's it for this week's episode. I hope you all enjoyed it and it set your week off to a great start. Whether you've laughed a little, cried a little... I mean, I think crying is good for the soul. Or you've resonated with something that was said. Thank you for listening and spending time out of your day to do so. If you like what you hear, please do rate, review and subscribe. In doing so, you're ensuring that lots more people get to find the Grief Gang podcast and hopefully help them too. If you're not already, check out the Grief Gang on social media platforms such as Instagram, Twitter and Facebook. I'm most active on the Instagram page where I love, love, love to connect with you all. For now, take care and big, big love.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market. Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.